Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Chappell, and I wanted to personally thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Daily in the Word. The purpose of this broadcast is to encourage God's people every day from His precious Word. The message you're about to hear is based on the Bible and will encourage, challenge, and strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. I'm thrilled that you are tuning in to listen, and it's my prayer that you will be encouraged by God's incredible Word. Thanks again for your prayers and for your support. May God richly bless you today.
One godly man or woman can make a dramatic difference, even in the darkest of circumstances. You may be the only Christian in your family, at the workplace, or in your neighborhood, but God has placed you there for a reason, and it's His desire that you use your influence to make a difference for the cause of Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series entitled Difference Makers, we will discover what it takes to spiritually impact those around us. Today, we are studying the faithfulness of Stephen and how God used this one man to ignite a revival in the early church. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
If we're going to be difference makers, then we've got to spend time in the Word of God so that when we face those crisis moments, when we face that moment of choice, that we are able at that moment to apply the Bible to that situation and that our message will reflect the fact that we are in the Word of God. And so the message of Stephen was filled with the Word of God. Notice, secondly, his message was fervent in times of opposition. He was fervent in times of opposition. And here we see that the opposition was coming Stephen's way. And let's just take a look at this in the Bible. In verse number 11, after they could not win the argument with Stephen, it says that these in the synagogue, they suborned men. If you're taking notes, that word means they hired men. They paid money to some men. Which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came unto him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law." Now here they hire informants against Stephen, and they accuse Stephen of blasphemy. And they essentially say, "Listen, this Stephen is causing trouble. All he talks about is God. He's telling all of us that we're going to hell. And he's this and he's that." And you know, many times today in workplaces and in this society, just for saying that you're a Christian, you will face persecution or ridicule. And in this case, they even hired people to tell lies against Stephen. Now, you can go to work and you can put up an advertisement to sell a Harley Davidson, or you can put up an advertisement to have all kinds of other activities, but how dare the Christian put up an advertisement inviting someone to church? And soon what we hear in society today is people saying, "That guy's kind of radical about his faith, and I mean, he goes to church 3 times a week. He must be a cult member or something." And soon Stephen was facing that kind of an undercurrent in his life. Listen, if you find sometimes that people are jaundiced towards you because of your faith, I just want to encourage you today. It's been going on since the first century. And yet, Stephen was fervent when the opposition came. It was much like the situation at Calvary. Some of you might remember the cross of Calvary, Matthew 27:20. The chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Remember that at Calvary? The people said, "Give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas." And Jesus Christ was crucified because of a crowd of people who were stirred up and who were worked up by the chief priest. Nevertheless, Stephen was fervent in facing his opposition. And then thirdly, I want you to notice in his message that it was focused always on Jesus Christ. He always kept on point. It was always about lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what the devil wants to do, is to get us off message. But Stephen kept focusing on the Lord. Notice in chapter 7 for just a moment, and we'll be back there again in just a moment. Look at chapter 7 and verse 52. At this point, he's speaking before the body called the Sanhedrin, the religious rulers, and he says, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, speaking of Jesus Christ, verse 56, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand. You see, his message was a defense of the deity of Jesus Christ. And he shared the story of Abraham and of Joshua and of Moses as he supported the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm simply saying to you this morning, a spirit-filled Christian will always exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, being spirit-filled is not about rolling down the church aisles this morning or some other type of activity like that. Being spirit-filled, I'll tell you how you know when someone is filled with the Spirit. They can't stop talking about Jesus Christ. And Stephen was a powerful spirit-filled man because he told everyone about Jesus. Look at what the Bible says in John 16, 13. Jesus speaking again about the Holy Spirit. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Notice that in verse 14. He shall glorify me. Let's say that together. He shall glorify me. All right. So the Holy Spirit's ministry in us is to help us glorify Jesus Christ. And so when someone has the Lord in their heart and they're filled with the Spirit, they're going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. The message of a difference maker is the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by the way, how many of you recognize that message does make a difference? And so we see this morning, the ministry of a difference maker is full of power because it is full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith. And if you and I will have power, it's not from ourselves, it's from the Spirit of God, it's from the Word of God. And we see that the message of a difference maker is not about ourselves, it's not necessarily about our church, but it is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then notice thirdly, and finally this morning, the manner or the mannerisms of a difference maker. Now, this person that will make a difference is going to have a certain character about him or about herself. In John 1:14, the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, speaking of Jesus, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Please notice this, full of grace and truth. All right? Jesus Christ, our perfect Savior, had a manner, the Bible describes it. He had a holy and divine temperament. The Bible describes it in this way, being full of grace and full of truth. Now, why was it that Jesus Christ struck the perfect balance? You say, because he was God? Yes. But there is another factor that we can learn from this morning. And I want you to hear this. Jesus Christ, who was perfectly God, was also, during his earthly ministry, yielded to and filled with and led by the Holy Spirit of God as our example in the faith. Notice what it says in Luke 4:1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, please capture this simple thought. If Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need to be led by the Holy Spirit? And the manner that Jesus displayed is only attainable by the Holy Spirit leading us. Because again, in our flesh, we're going to mess up every time. But as we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we can be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So notice, if you will, the manner of Stephen. First, I want you to see that he was bold in his witness. Here we see the truth side of the equation. Bold in his witness for Jesus Christ. Now, some of you would say to me, Pastor Chapel, I'd like to pass out a flyer. I mean, I'd like to give one of these to somebody, but you don't understand, I'm shy and I'm embarrassed to do that. That's just not me. All right, now we're at the crux of the matter, because we're not preaching this morning how to be the best you can be. We're preaching this morning how to let God work through you. Amen? And so when I am timid, I must have the Holy Spirit's filling. and power in order to be the proper witness that God wants me to be. And Stephen, as he faced a death squad, had boldness that none of us could ever have in our own selves. And I want you to see his boldness now as we turn to chapter 7 and look at verse 51. And listen to the concluding third point of Stephen's message this morning. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. How many of you perceive from that he was a fundamental Bible-believing preacher? Some of you woke up. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's Pastor talking about? Now, talk about boldness. I mean, Stephen would never be invited to TBN. Most Christian television, he would be just too, whoa, fired up. But what I'm simply illustrating is that this boldness was not him. It was God in him. And he was willing to take a stand as God led him. Verse 52 says, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and the murderers. You know what he's telling the Sanhedrin? He's looking them right in the eye, these Jewish religious leaders, and saying, you murdered your own Messiah. Now, folks, that's strong preaching. I mean, that is some strong preaching. And he was bold, and Stephen knew the risk. Perhaps even as he was preaching this, men and women were angered, and they were gritting their teeth and maybe even grabbing some stones as they looked at him. He's calling them murderers. He's calling them stiff-necked. He's calling them uncircumcised in heart. And the anger is growing. And I'm telling you, in this day when so many churches and so many pastors are very pragmatic and, you know, don't rock the boat, just be real nice about everything, Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, was willing to say what needed to be said in the moment. And he did that in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was bold in his witness. Now, notice though the balance of the manner. And notice secondly, he was graceful under pressure. He was graceful under pressure. Some people equate being filled with the Spirit, being a strong fundamental Christian, as always going around kind of ticked off about stuff. You need to straighten this up, straighten that up. The whole world is terrible, and just always being, you know, on fire like that. Well, let me show you something. The Christian life is to be lived with a divine balance. There are times when we must stand firm and never compromise. And there are times when, without compromising truth, our spirit must also be accommodating and kind and sweet in the midst of the pressure that we face. Now, notice this in Stephen's life. Go back to chapter 6 for just a moment. Back to this first synagogue where he was speaking. And it says in verse 15, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Now just think about that. I mean, they have taken this man. They're saying, you don't know what you're talking about. You're one of those stupid Christians of the way. I mean, they're just telling him everything they can tell him. And I mean, now they've suborned witnesses. They hire these guys, and these guys are saying, yeah, I heard it too. He's terrible. He's forcing religion down us. And I mean, he's breaking every code you can possibly break. He's breaking this code and this code. And I've got this and that. And they're just doing everything they can. And when they're all done talking, they look at him. They don't see hate. They don't see horror. They don't see anger. You know what they saw? The face of a what? Angel. You will know you're filled with the Spirit when people are coming at you and you're able, with the peace of God, to face the situation and not retaliate. Stephen was filled with the Spirit. Now, this is the way we want to live our lives. I remember a lady came into my office several years ago, and she and her mother came in. They wanted an appointment, and I said, well, just call the secretary, and they did, and they came in, I think, a week or two later, and this particular lady sat down in my office, and she had a yellow pad, and she said, Pastor Chappell, I have some questions for you about this church. And I said, well, wonderful. How can I help you with the question? She said, well, she said, first of all, she said, I want you to know, a few weeks ago, you were preaching, and you said that the husband should be the head of the whole. Do you know how offensive that language is today? And then she said, next, you said, I had been preaching on the family. She said, you said that if we don't start disciplining our children, they're going to run around living like a bunch of children living in the ghetto. And I think I'd use the term something like that. She said, I resent that term like that. And then she had some other things she was telling me. She'd been taking good notes, but not for her edification. I'm telling you what, she was just... my secretary had said they were interested in the gospel. I thought, man, she set me up. Interested in the gospel? Let me know when I need my asbestos suit, you know, before this begins. So, you know, right about in the middle of that, I just stopped. I said, ma'am... And I said, let me tell you something. I said, first of all, I would never try to preach a message just to be offensive towards you. I said, but I'm going to tell you the honest truth. If you keep coming to Lancaster Baptist Church, there's probably going to be more things I'm going to say from the Bible that might offend you. I said, I'm not trying to do that. And I said, then I want to tell you just a few things. I said, first of all, number one, I want you to know that God loves you. I said, I don't know if you ever come back to our church again, but I want you to know that God loves you. And number two, I want you to know that I love you. And number three, I just want to ask you this one question. If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you'd spend eternity in heaven? Have you ever settled that? She said, you always ask that question every Sunday. That's one of the other things I have right here in my notes. And her mother looked at her. Her mother was probably about an 80-year-old woman. Her mother said, well, do you know where you'd go or not? And she looked at her mother and said, no. And her mother said, well, why don't you let him show you? Amen. And you know, after about 30 minutes, that lady got saved. Amen. Now, I wish I could say that every day and in every appointment, I respond in the Spirit. I try to walk in the Spirit. But I'm sure glad that at that moment, my big goal wasn't to win the argument about how to have a family. I'm glad the Holy Spirit helped me to respond properly and gracefully so that that lady could be saved. You see, there was a gracefulness under pressure in Stephen's life. Notice it as we close in verse 54 of chapter 7. I want you to see one of the greatest pictures of grace. Maybe your husband or wife has not been kind. Maybe someone at work is bothering you. Look at what Stephen did. The Bible says in verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, let's just stop right there. Has anybody had that happen yet? You know, I haven't seen any deacons coming in church. Whoa, Pastor, I was soul winning yesterday, and some guy bit me right here. Check it out. The deepest one yet. I must tell you that in all my years of ministry, no one has bit me yet. I have been bit by a dog, but not by a person yet. But seriously, they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, would you say the next phrase with me, please? Being full of the Holy Ghost. Say it again. Being looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Wow. Even as they were murdering him, even as he became the first martyr in the Christian church, Stephen said, Lord, don't lay it to their charge. Lord, please, Lord, forgive them. You see, Stephen knew that how he lived his life was more important than how long he lived his life. He wanted his life to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says there in this verse number 58, they laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And if you were to take the time and study a few chapters later in Acts chapter 9, the Bible says that Saul left this place and he went on his way to a place called Damascus. And as he was on the road to Damascus, the Bible says that a light shone down from heaven, and it was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And Saul, the Bible says, was thrown from his animal, and he there was laying in the road. And Jesus said to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And the pricks were used many times by the farmers, and they would goad against the oxen and prick the oxen to keep them going along. And sometimes the oxen would kick back against the pricks. And these, my friend, were spiritual pricks. This was the Holy Spirit poking at Saul and reminding him of what he had seen back in Acts chapter 7, and reminding him that Stephen had died gracefully, and Stephen had something he didn't have, and Stephen had peace and joy and power that Saul did not have. And Jesus said, "It's hard for you to kick against that, isn't it?" And that day, my friend, Saul became Paul, because he became a born again child of God. And he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And do you understand that one of the reasons Saul got saved was because he saw a real Christian, and that real Christian made a difference in his life. Whose life will you make a difference in this week? Who is it that you could just break, but instead you're going to love them? Who is it that you could win the argument with them, but instead you're going to be kind to them? Who is it, my friend, that God wants to use you this week to make the difference in their life? When D.L. Moody was just starting the ministry, he heard a preacher one day say, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to Him." Moody was a young preacher that night. But as he heard that statement, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to Him," that night Moody, a young man, not a known preacher, came to the front of an old-fashioned church and knelt down at what used to be called the mourner's bench. And he knelt down at that bench and he said, "By the grace of God, I will be that man." And D.L. Moody went on to live the rest of his life during the Civil War and post-Civil War era, preaching in New England, preaching in Chicago, preaching in England, and to the point that man spoke and shook two continents with the gospel of the grace of God, because he was filled with the Spirit of God and determined that in his life he would make a difference. And I remind you this morning from 1 John 4:4, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Listen to me. These great works I'm speaking to you about are not left just for the times of Stephen and just for the times of Moody and just for people in other times. You and I can make a difference today by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. If we would leave this place and if we would say, "Lord, help me in my life to yield to your Spirit, that I might have a ministry and a message and a manner that is distinctly of you and not of me." And if you're here this morning and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ can forgive your sin and give you the Holy Spirit who I spoke about this morning. And you this day could be born again if you would turn to Christ and say, "Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, but I ask you to come into my life and save me. Whosoever will call upon the Lord shall be saved." Father in heaven, thank you for this time to study the life of Stephen, the difference maker.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Now, if you've missed any part of this program, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to dailyintheword.org, where you can listen online anytime. You can also download the Daily in the Word podcast to your device and listen on the go.
This broadcast is a listener-supported program that exists because of prayers and donations from people just like you. If you make a donation to Daily in the Word, Pastor Chapel would like to send you a copy of his newest book, Paid in Full, as a thank you for your support of our ministry. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.